Getting help for mental health shouldn't be as hard as it is. Mindful Therapy Group is here to make your mental health journey as painless as possible. Mindful partners with thousands of licensed clinicians to find the perfect fit for you. And also accepts insurance. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com.
Did the St. Paul Public School District misuse federal COVID funding to the tunes of tens of thousands of dollars? Two former employees say so. They filed a lawsuit. And reporting on this story, longtime investigative reporter for KSTP, Jay Coles, who joins us live now on the John Schuster Coldwell Banker Hotline. Jay, known your work for many years. This is the first chance I've ever gotten to speak with you, so welcome to the show. Thank you so much for the time. And tell us about this story that you've uncovered here and what these employees claim that the St. Paul Public School District did with COVID money.
Yeah, no, nice talking to you, too. Thanks for having me on. And I told Dave, I listen to you guys all the time, so I already feel like I know you. You know how that goes, right?
Yeah, absolutely. So I apologize ahead of time if I'm disappointing to you in any way.
No, not at all. Well, you know, and right at the outset, you know, I've got to state, you know, again, these are allegations in a lawsuit,
yep.
Serious allegations. None of it been proven true. St. Paul schools haven't responded. But with that said, essentially, Marie Schruel was the chief financial officer for the school district for 24 years. She's got a clean personnel file, which tells you she was very trusted and very credible, which gives her a lot of credibility with what she's saying in this lawsuit, because she served under many superintendents. And what she's claiming, along with a colleague of hers who was a business analyst, is that when the influx of $200 million, St. Paul Schools got $200 million of the COVID money, I think it was, if not the largest to an individual school district in the state, if not the largest, certainly one of the top two or three. So
sure.
They got $200 million. And there were strict, strict guidelines on how you could spend that $200 million. Specifically, as we would all guess, for instructional purposes, educational purposes. In other words, you can't go build a new school building or fix an old school building with it.
Right.
You can't have parties. It was very strict.
Set up for distance learning, all the things that we had to go through during that time.
Yes, for instructional purposes. So what Marie and her colleague, Curtis Mahaney, are alleging in this lawsuit is that tens of millions, I don't have an exact dollar amount, because they would have to, when they do the lawsuit now, they go through a process called discovery so they can get the documents. She didn't take these documents with her. What she's claiming is, for example, they had a $43 million deficit. And she's claiming then superintendent Dr. Joe Gothard, it's in the lawsuit, the quote was, "Get creative with your accounting," and wanted her and her, you know, fiscal team to use some of that COVID money to help cover a $43 million budget deficit. According to Marie, that violates state and federal law, administrative law, on how you can spend this money. And when she would repeatedly try to tell him you can't do this, he rebuffed her, went to the school board. The school board didn't act on it. And she claims in the lawsuit, again, a direct quote from Dr. Gothard in the lawsuit is, "We're getting all this money. We need to spend it as quickly as we can." Well, that's really not the spirit of what the COVID money was for. And it certainly is not for covering budget shortfalls. And then she goes on to say in the lawsuit further that employee bonuses, employee gifts, employee parties were all being thrown at the directive of Dr. Gothard with COVID money. And she gave one example of an invite only to certain school district employees, so it wasn't open to every employee, just a certain number by invite only, and just for the food trucks alone, just that portion of the party was $10,000, and she claims it was COVID money. So when you add all of it up, you're talking about potentially tens of millions of dollars that was earmarked specifically for COVID money, or for instructional purposes with COVID money, and Marie and Curtis are claiming that they created this, what they call in the lawsuit, a budgetary shell game, where they were using that money for all these other purposes outside of instruction to the students. And she went also one step further, Adam, to say also they have federal funding for something called nutrition services, that is food.
Right.
That they were also dipping into the nutrition services food to help cover the budget deficit. Again, if the federal government says, here's X number of dollars for food, it's got to go to food. So, again, none of this has been proven to be true allegations, but very serious allegations. And keep in mind, from a chief financial officer who was there for 24 years, and she told me in the interview, budget problems and fiscal problems and federal funding problems are commonplace, right? It's very complicated.
Yep.
By that, I mean problems, you know, they can get mixed up with what money they can spend where. But she said whenever she uncovers that as the chief financial officer, when she went to previous superintendents, she said each of the previous superintendents would say to her, okay, we got to fix that. If we can't use that money for that, we got to fix it.
Yep.
She said what made this different was when she went to Dr. Gothard, she was rebuffed. She was told to spend the money as fast as she can. And that's when she went to the school board and publicly stated this was a problem. And shortly thereafter, in September of 2022, she and Curtis both were fired, and they were not fired for cause. In other words, they weren't told they had done something wrong. They were told they were being laid off for budgetary reasons.
Jay, did that?
She believes it was retaliation.
Did the school board at the time, when they brought it to the school board, did the school board, aside from, you know, Dr. Gothard, did the school board take any action on this, or was there any? Did the federal government, were they notified, or the state government, to investigate any of this?
She says, she claims in the lawsuit that the school board did not take any action. As far as the Department of Education goes, she claims the Minnesota Department. So the federal money comes into the state.
Yep.
And then it's the state's responsibility to allocate it and oversee it. So in this case, it wouldn't be the federal government necessarily. It would be the Minnesota Department of Education. She claims in the lawsuit that MDE did warn St. Paul schools about some of the stuff they were doing. But again, she claims that the district ignored that. They simply ignored it. In one instance, she says, in the lawsuit, she says they were $179 million over budget for their facilities budget, their capital budget, in other words, buildings, building maintenance, that kind of money, not general fund money. And when it was $179 million over, they started using money from other departments to cover that budget shortfall in facilities. And she says the director of facilities at the time, a guy by the name of Thomas Parent, told her, and it's a quote in the lawsuit, look, Marie, it's just what I consider a $170 million learning curve. Well, that $179 million deficit is...
I'll take that.
You want to treat it like a learning curve.
Right.
That's quite a learning curve. So she tried. She and her attorney told me they tried for the past 10 months to negotiate with the district about a resolution here. And she said they got rebuffed again, and that's when she decided to file a lawsuit and go public, because she felt the taxpayers of St. Paul, who pay tens of millions of dollars every year into the school budget, deserve the right to at least know what she knew. And that's kind of where it sits right now.
We're talking to Jay Coles from a KSTP investigative reporter. And Jay, you're very careful to say that, again, that these are their allegations, and I appreciate that. Dr. Gothard has moved on to a school district in Wisconsin. I spoke to Dr. Gothard on various topics over the years, and I know that he rubbed a lot of people the wrong way at the St. Paul School District. I guess my question to you would be, okay, these are two employees who lost their job. Why should I believe them if this sounds like sour grapes from two employees who don't work there anymore? Why didn't they do more to uncover?
You know, and that's always the question when a lawsuit like this is, when a whistleblower files a lawsuit, first question is, why did they wait till now? Are they just disgruntled? Are they only looking for money? You know, I can't really speak to their motivations other than what they tell me, right? I have no way of proving otherwise. I can say this about Marie. when you consider she was there for 24 years with good job reviews in each of those 24 years, working for multiple superintendents, it gives her, in my mind, a certain level of credibility that she should be heard and her argument should be taken seriously because of her longevity in that school district. When you are there for 25 years, almost a quarter century, as a chief financial officer, you had to be doing something right.
Yep.
That's just kind of how I look at it. And she, when I talked to her and interviewed her yesterday, if you notice in the interview, she was very straightforward. She wasn't full of hyperbole. She didn't really attack anyone. She just, as an accountant or a chief financial officer, as you would expect, Adam, she just laid it out very straightforward for me and just said, it was wrong. We have a code of ethics as financial officers. And if they weren't going to fix this, I had no other option than to let the public know. To that end, I believe her, to that end.
You know this as well as anybody, that when lawsuits are filed, people have to, you know, circle the wagons and keep quiet about things, at least when talking to the media. What have your attempts been to reach Dr. Gothard or any of the current officials at the St. Paul School District? What have you heard from them? Can we expect them to respond to this anytime soon?
I don't think so anytime soon, only based on past experience, and not just with St. Paul Public Schools, Adam. Well, usually when there's a lawsuit against a government entity like a school district, or, you know, take your pick of any government entity, or even a private, you know, company for that matter, generally speaking, when litigation happens, when a lawsuit is filed, they generally don't comment until it gets to, if it gets as far as the courtroom, right? They usually don't comment on it as a policy until they have to comment on it publicly if it goes to court, if it gets all the way to court. My guess is it might be settled before then. They usually are. Not always, but they usually are. Then if it gets settled, Adam, the tricky thing about Minnesota data laws is once it's settled, only the dollar amount really becomes public. The rest of it kind of stays private at that point. So in the short term, I would say you're probably not going to hear much from them. I asked them for an interview, and they said their policy is when there's litigation, threat of litigation, an open case, our policy is we don't comment. I reached out to Dr. Gothard multiple times yesterday in Madison, where he's a school superintendent, and I didn't hear back from him. So right now, it's, you know, now you sit and wait and see what happens with the lawsuit.
So even if it, even if it gets settled, that we may never know the truth on where that money was spent and if it was spent for certain things that were claimed. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, we would never know, I guess you could say. You wouldn't know if her allegations of how it was spent were true.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That's generally how it goes. Doesn't mean it's going to go that way this time.
Right.
But usually that's how it happens. Yeah. So we'll just have to see, I guess.
Interesting stuff. We'll be following it, Jay. Last question for you.
Yeah.
Our mutual friend Brad Lane came in to say hello, and he was commenting on he's a fan of yours. But hard question. You're a reporter. You have to tell the truth here. Dave Harrigan and I were discussing, have you ever, and not just you, we're talking about in general, have you ever been on the toilet long enough that your legs have lost feeling?
Yeah, just this morning.
Okay, very good. Thank you, Jay.
Hey, before, you know, I'm 64 now. They fall asleep everywhere.
That's right.
But is Susie still? Say hey to Brad. I love Brad. Brad gave me a job over at AM 1500. Yep. He actually let me on the air over there. But is Susie still around there? I just heard her a minute ago.
She'll be back on at 2 o'clock.
So say hi to Susie, because we've known each other for 25 years. I wanted to see if she remembered being at my house for the Packers-Broncos Super Bowl party.
Ooh.
She came to my house with her husband at the time and Randy Meyer from Channel 9. Yeah, Susie's good stuff, so say hi to her.
She's a piece of work, that's for sure. Thank you, Jay.
Yeah.
Appreciate the time, man. Thanks. We'll talk again.
All right, take care, guys. Bye-bye.
Jay Cole from KSTP, 122 on CCO.